The self-proclaimed Pied Piper of R&B, R. Kelly enjoyed a career like very few had ever experienced before, from extreme highs to the lowest of lows. No amount of hits or philanthropy could get R. Kelly ahead of the tidal wave of shocking allegations that would eventually overwhelm him and his career, landing him behind bars. This is the story of R. Kelly.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Robert Sylvester Kelly is an American singer, songwriter, musician, record producer, actor, and former semi-professional basketball player from Illinois. He's been credited with helping to redefine R&B and hip-hop, earning nicknames such as the King of R&B, the King of Pop Soul, and the Pied Piper of R&B. Kelly is known for songs including I Believe I Can Fly, Bump and Grind, Your Body's Calling, Gotham City, Ignition, If I Could Turn Back the Hands of Time, The World's Greatest, I'm a Flirt, and the hip-hop opera Trapped in the Closet. In 1998, Kelly won 3 Grammy Awards for I Believe I Can Fly. Although Kelly is primarily a singer and songwriter, he's written, produced, and remixed songs, singles, and albums for many artists. In 1996, he was nominated for a Grammy Award for writing Michael Jackson's song You Are Not Alone. Kelly has sold over 75 million records worldwide, making him the most successful R&B male artist of the 1990s and one of the world's best-selling music artists. He's the 55th best-selling music artist in the United States, with over 32 million album sales. Kelly was named by Billboard as the top R&B hip-hop artist between 1985 and 2010, and the most successful R&B artist in history. Since the 1990s, Kelly has been the subject of numerous allegations of sexual abuse and misconduct, often with underage girls. All charges he denies. In 2002, he was indicted on 13 counts of child pornography, but was acquitted of all charges in 2008. In January of 2019, a widely viewed Lifetime docuseries titled Surviving R. Kelly detailed allegations of sexual abuse by multiple women, allegations Kelly denies. Facing pressure from the public using the Mute R. Kelly hashtag, RCA Records dropped Kelly. On February 22nd of 2019, Kelly was indicted on 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. On July 11, 2019, Kelly was arrested on federal charges alleging sex crimes and obstruction of justice. Kelly faces a total of 18 federal counts, including child pornography, kidnapping, and forced labor. As of July 12, 2019, as a result, he is currently incarcerated at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Chicago. So, today on the Dark Side of Wikipedia, we are going to be focusing on the controversies of R. Kelly. The Wikipedia entry on R. Kelly is extensively long, and he is a very accomplished musical artist. There's no denying that by the amount of hits and hits that he's produced for himself and other artists. He's obviously very good at what his career is or was. But obviously there's a lot of controversy around him and has been around him from almost the very beginning. And we're going to talk about all of that today on the Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's been a very interesting case to watch over the years. Me and Carol's our co-host on today's episode. We can kind of talk about some of that stuff from the perspective of people behind the mics at radio stations when his music was being played. It's a weird story. It's a sick story, but it's a weird story of public embrace and rejection and embrace again and back to rejection. And it's, you know, kind of picking and choosing what we want to hear, don't want to hear, don't want to know, and want to know. And is he all that different, quite honestly, from some other more historic artists in the world of music that are no longer with us? And I'm not talking about Michael Jackson. I'm talking about several others that you may or may not be aware of what they were up to at their ages with underage women as well. But
like Jerry Lee Lewis, was he married to like a 14 or 15 year old girl? And Elvis Presley, Priscilla was super young.
Yep. It's if Elvis was around today, if Elvis was at that age and these things were going on today, I think he would be in jail. I think it would be the same sort of shit R. Kelly is going through, because and I'm not saying it's a good thing by any means, but
I'm
people
disagree to an extent.
Yeah.
Because R. Kelly's is a little bit deeper than just underage.
It is. You're right.
Women. There's like basically like a brainwashing, holding them captive,
yeah,
sort of.
You're right.
Mentality.
But the fact that, I mean, could there is no way. I mean, I'll ask the question, but could you see an artist today who would be in their, hell, even in their 20s, or anything, even over the age of 18, period, for the most part, able to wed or have a relationship with like a 14-year-old?
No.
Because that's Elvis. That's what happened publicly. And the world was like, isn't she a beautiful bride?
I think at that time when that happened, though, in a lot of states around the country, it was not just legal, but encouraged.
Yeah.
So if the 13-year-old girl, and I think in Jerry Lee Lewis's case, she might have been 13.
Yeah.
But 14, she was really young.
Yeah.
But like if she ended up pregnant, well then, let's get him married.
Yeah. I mean,
the woman, like there was something a horrible crime might have occurred. But rather than face the fact that a crime might have occurred, it was this public shame on the family because the daughter's pregnant. Get her married before anyone notices.
Yeah, quick, get her married to the guy who violated her. That's the solution.
Right.
It's so fucked up.
That's a whole nother dark side of
what. What is utterly just shocking to me? I mean, is, you know, how quickly our standards can change. You know, like Elvis, you know, was not that long ago. I mean, in terms of timeline and standards of things being acceptable and not acceptable, but apparently so. Apparently, those sort of standards can change over the course of just a few decades to be polar opposites. And that's
probably like 50 years ago.
Yeah,
I would say.
So when the R. Kelly stuff was really going down, you know, with Aaliyah and things like that, it would have been 20, 30 years ago.
And I think a lot of times, too, that really famous people get a free pass.
Yeah.
Where you and I wouldn't get a free pass.
Well, I think they used to. I think that
they have money. They can pay people off. They can hire great lawyers. And I think that's what happened with R. Kelly for a long time.
Yeah.
I think that there was hush money being paid out, lawyers.
Yeah.
And so I don't think he has anything left now.
I just, you know, and I think that used to be, I mean, yes, hush money and all that went on for a long time. But I think even before then, I don't think they even had to go that deep. I think it was just you guys get to be around me and that's your payment enough. And then Into the world of R. Kelly and things like that and all of those allegations. And it appears that it's alleged that he played a lot of hush money stuff so he could kind of live this lifestyle, but not get in trouble forever. But
and he had I don't know if grooming would be the right word, but it basically was, you know, there'd be a young girl who had some talent. She was a singer and he'd be like, I can help her. And the family's like, oh, my God, R. Kelly can help her. And the girl's like, oh, my God, I want R. Kelly to help me.
Yeah.
Because they want that dream, you know, because you know, maybe she is a decent singer, or you could be a great singer and, you know,
yeah.
under the right circumstances, you'll be famous. But that's like 0.05% of the public.
Exactly. I mean, it's...
So I think that the power, the money, it just... People see it differently than what it really is.
But I don't think you could publicly do that dating of a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old today the way that it could have been done years ago. I hope to God. I mean, that's the scary part of all of this to me. Because certainly, I mean, now it's like celebrities used to be able to kind of get away or get passes on things. But now if the public finds out, if they can get away with it, if they got the money to pay shit off. But if that stuff ever gets out, they don't get away with it anymore. It's not an accepted thing should the public get wind of it. But what is scary to me is just how, like 20, 30 years, the perception changed, thank God, from being, oh, isn't this wonderful and great, they're in love, to, oh my God, that's an older man preying on a younger woman. And that changed that quickly. My fear is that things could change back just as drastically, just as quickly, because who the fuck would have ever thought you'd be looking back on things that this perspective, that dramatic, happened in the course of our lifetimes, you know, for the most part. It's just like, how does that happen? Yeah, it's just baffling.
I don't know, but I did start watching The Handmaid's Tale, and I just couldn't. It just seemed like it could be too real at any time.
I have not seen that.
I couldn't. I didn't even finish the first episode. I'm like, not now. Not at this point in my life.
Let's continue on here with the story of the controversies and allegations surrounding R. Kelly here on the dark side of Wikipedia. According to Vibe and the Chicago Sun-Times, 27-year-old Kelly and 15-year-old protege Aaliyah were illegally married in a secret ceremony on August 31, 1994 in Cook County. Upon meeting Kelly and prior to the nuptials, Aaliyah admitted she had falsely stated she was 18. In a 2008 interview, Kelly's tour manager, Demetrius Smith, said that he facilitated the wedding by obtaining falsified identification for Aaliyah, which listed her as 18 years of age. Kelly had been introduced to Aaliyah by her uncle, Barry Hankerson, just 3 years prior when she was 12 years old. In 2019, a contemporaneous video showing R. Kelly stating that Aaliyah was age 14 years less than a year before the marriage took place. The marriage was annulled in February of 1995 at the behest of Aaliyah's family by a Michigan judge. Kelly and Aaliyah, however, both denied that the marriage occurred and even denied that their relationship had ever moved beyond friendship. Despite denials of marriage in May of 1997, Aaliyah filed a lawsuit in Cook County to have her existing marriage records expunged, claiming that she was underage at the time of marriage and lied by signing the marriage certificate as an 18-year-old and that she could not legally enter into marriage without parental consent. The expungement request was in the middle of a lawsuit filed by Tiffany Hawkins, who was seeking to use the marriage documents in her case against Kelly. Hawkins later accepted a settlement of $250,000 from Kelly, subject to a confidentiality agreement, in 1998. In 2019, federal prosecutors in New York charged Kelly with bribery related to the 1994 purchase of a fake ID for Aaliyah in order to obtain a marriage license. In 1998, Kelly paid Tiffany Hawkins $250,000 after she claimed Kelly had introduced her to have group sex with other teenage girls when she was 15 years old. On February 3rd of 2002, a video surfaced allegedly showing Kelly engaging in sex with and urinating on an underage girl. The story, which was released by an unknown source, was sent to the Chicago Sun-Times, the newspaper that broke the story on February 8th of 2002. This news surfaced as Kelly was to perform at the opening ceremonies of the 2002 Winter Olympics. Kelly said in interviews that he was not the man in the video. In June of 2002, Kelly was indicted in Chicago on 21 counts of child pornography. That same month, Kelly was apprehended by Miami Police Department under a Chicago arrest warrant. The alleged victim refused to testify at the trial, and the Chicago jury found Kelly not guilty on 14 out of 14 counts of child pornography in June of 2008. While investigating the photographs reported in the Chicago Sun-Times, Polk County Sheriff's Office conducted a search of Kelly's residence in Davenport, Florida. During the search, officers recovered 12 images of an alleged underage girl on a digital camera wrapped in a towel in a duffel bag, which allegedly depicted Kelly involved in sexual conduct with the female minor. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, the girl in the images obtained from Kelly's Florida home also appear in the videotape which got Kelly indicted in Chicago. Kelly was arrested in January of 2003 on those charges. In March of 2004, these charges were dropped due to a lack of probable cause for the search warrants. So let's dive into that nugget of his life and go back into the days of Aaliyah and back into the early part of his career. It's crazy. I mean, if you watch the Surviving R. Kelly documentary or read the book by the reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, and his name escapes me right now, but I'm sure it'll come up later. Very interesting to hear all of these different sides. I mean, it really, obviously Aaliyah's not around anymore to speak about anything, but towards the end there, it seemed that she had taken some action to not necessarily publicly say, yes, I was married to R. Kelly, but I need these records erased. This isn't fair that these are going to be in existence and held against me. Almost in a way acknowledging that this stuff exists. So, you know, I'm not going to tell you what all happened, but this stuff exists.
And once again, this is like the Jeffrey Epstein episodes. Yeah. I mean, there's some similarities, obviously. But girls that age, especially when you get around someone who has that kind of money, and especially R. Kelly, who is uber famous.
Yeah.
And Aaliyah, super talented, mm-hmm. but very young. So you have someone around who's going to really help your career and you're going to take off. You're so easily manipulated.
Sure.
And it just makes me so sad. And when you were telling that story, I'm thinking, how many young girls are manipulated every day by not even famous men, just men?
Sure.
You know, these young 12, 13, 14-year-old girls, it's just sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something that, you know, I think is, or was at least, very, you know, prevalent in the music industry. I mean, just think of the amount of concerts that we've gone to and how many times, you know, maybe, you know, a little bit further back in the day, there would be, you know, like girls waiting outside of the dressing room or outside of the backstage area. And then every once in a while, security brings some of them back. And it's not like, oh, I won these passes from the local radio station for the meet and greet. No, this is after the show. This is right. Something totally different. And it's like, oh, we know what's going on there. And
the thing is, a 15-year-old girl, a 25-year-old woman, yeah. they would all be like, they just want to be with the famous people.
Yeah.
You know, you're only going to... But maybe he'll really like you.
Yeah.
In reality, it'll only be like a 10-minute deal.
Yeah.
And he'll never remember you exist, more than likely.
No.
But, you know, in R. Kelly's case, you know, I think, like that woman, the girl from the first story where they went to trial and she didn't testify. I hate even repeating that.
Sure.
But it makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Because that would be, at that age, in that act,
yeah.
would be scary and gross.
Sure.
And what went on, and then of course she wouldn't want to testify.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing, and I want to be clear, in no way am I saying, when I was talking about backstage or the girls lining up for backstage, I'm not saying it's their fault at all. What I'm saying is these predatory men took advantage of that situation. They took advantage of knowing that, yeah, I can have my security guy go out there and bring any one of these back here with me, and I can do anything I want with them. They knew what the power they had was. They knew how manipulative they could be and how starstruck some people can be and how they're not going to make logical choices or responsible choices when in the presence of these people, and they take it to their advantage. A lot of those girls, especially when you're that age, they think they're going backstage and they think like, oh, great, we're going to get an autograph and pictures and hugs and maybe we'll talk for a little bit. And, you know, as a dad or as, you know, a lot of other people around there, you know, there's plenty of people who knew what the fuck was going on. But then try and tell that, though, to the 15-year-old girl who is seeing her idol, and then suddenly her idol wants to meet them. And, you know, the only thing you really can do as a parent is just don't allow your child to be in that situation where they could make such a bad decision at that age because they're being duped by a predator. You know, that's why they're called predators. They take advantage of people that are, you know.
In R. Kelly's case, you know, some of these young girls were really talented.
Yeah, they were.
So they have the talent. R. Kelly reaches out and is interested. Well, the parents are like, oh my God, R. Kelly sees what we see in her daughter.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it seems like
things that parents made bad decisions.
Yeah. And it seemed like he knew how to do it.
They're blinded by it.
He groomed the parents, allegedly, too.
Yes.
And so it wasn't just a backstage deal. It was more, it seemed in this case, the allegations make it look a lot more like it's a slow going. I'm going to talk to your mom. I'm going to talk to your grandma. I'm going to talk and make everybody think I am just Mr. Wholesome. And I got all this talent and I find so much talent in your daughter. I'm going to make her a star. But she just needs to come to the studio for a lot of, it's a lot of dedication. It seemed to be kind of his thing. And it all twisted into all the allegations of
and then
sex.
Don't tell your parents.
Yeah.
And if you really want this, you won't let anybody know. And the next thing you know, a guy like him has got her convinced and brainwashed that what he's doing is right for her.
Yeah. Isn't that just, that to me, it's just so scary that like another human being has that power or can have that power over another human being. And I'm not saying everyone can, you know, just be the victim of that or would be necessarily, but you got the right mix of personalities there. That's what happens. You can it's the predator and the prey, and they can sniff it out a mile away, and they just, it goes on. And it's just so scary to think that it's at the end of the day, not that complicated. What he did and how he got away with it and how he pulled it and how it all went down. It really is not that complicated. What is scarier and more complicated is where someone would let their guard down so easily with those few magic words or ideas of fame and where the positions they could put themselves into, thinking or not thinking. I mean, I don't think a lot of these people thought, oh, you know, I'm going to go, you know, subject my daughter to a rapist or anything like that or alleged anything. But I think they saw this, the idea too of fame and it being legitimate when there's so many red flags.
You have R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Like he did it. Like he's uber famous and he's super talented.
Yeah.
And even, you know, you groom the parents, you groom the child. There's just, they have ways. And I think there's some blackmail. And then the parents would get to a point where, wait a minute, this isn't right. But then they have ways to explain all that.
It's already so far in. And yeah, I mean, just
there's so many of those parents I feel so bad for after watching that documentary, you know, because God, the guilt.
Yeah.
And the just wanting your kid back.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Let's continue on with the controversies, the alleged controversies. Some are alleged, some are not, of R. Kelly. Jim DeRogatis reported for BuzzFeed News on July 17, 2017, that Kelly was accused by three sets of parents of holding their daughters in an abusive cult. Kelly and the alleged victims deny the allegations. In March of 2018, BBC World Service aired a documentary entitled R. Kelly, Sex, Girls, and Videotape, presented by reporter Ben Zahn, that explored the 2017 allegations. This was followed up in May with the BBC Three documentary, R. Kelly, The Sex Scandal Continues, which included interviews with the parents of the Savage Daughters. Kelly was again accused of misconduct on April 17, 2018, by a former partner of his who claimed that Kelly intentionally infected her with a sexually transmitted disease. A representative for Kelly stated that he categorically denies all claims and allegations. In January of 2019, BBC, in a news article, a woman named Asante McGee, whom Kelly had met in 2014, and taken to live with him some months later, so that she lived with not only Kelly alone, but with other women. She said, "He controlled every aspect of my life. While I lived with him, McGee later moved out on her own accord." In May of 2018, the Women of Color branch of the Time's Up movement called for a boycott of Kelly's music and performances over the many allegations against him. The boycott was accompanied by a social media campaign called Mute R. Kelly. In response, his management said that Kelly supports the movement in principle, but targeting him was the attempted lynching of a black man who has made extraordinary contributions to our culture. The music streaming service Spotify announced on May 10th that it was going to stop promoting or recommending music by both R. Kelly. Spotify stated, "We don't censor content because of an artist or creator's behavior, but we choose to program to reflect our values." 2 days later, Apple Music and Pandora also announced that they will no longer be featuring or promoting R. Kelly's music. Spotify received criticism from members of the music industry who expressed worries of a slippery slope of muting artists, since R. Kelly has not ever actually been convicted of any crime. Spotify ultimately reversed this decision. The Washington Post ran a lengthy article in May of 2018 alleging that music industry executives have been aware of Kelly's sexual abusive behavior towards young women for years, but did little or nothing about them due to his success as a performer and songwriter. As early as 1994, the newspaper reported his tour managers had urged Jive Records founder Clive Calder to tell Kelly he would not release the singer's records if he continued to have incidents with women after every concert he gave. Calder told the Post that he regretted not having done more at the time, saying, "Clearly, we missed something." Former Jive president Barry Weiss told the newspaper that during 20 years with the label, he never concerned himself with Kelly's private life and was unaware of two lawsuits filed against Kelly and the label by women alleging sexual misconduct, suits which the label had successfully argued it was not liable. Larry Kahn, another Jive executive who worked closely with the singer even after viewing the sex tape, likewise implied it was not the label's responsibility and pointed to Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis as musicians whose labels continued to release and promote their records despite public awareness that they were involved with young women. Executives at Epic Records also took a similarly relaxed attitude towards the allegation of Kelly's sexual misconduct, the Post claimed. In 2002, after he signed with the label, executive David McPherson allegedly avoided viewing a copy of a tape purportedly showing the singer having sex with an underage girl, even as he had warned Kelly's assistant that if it turned out to be Kelly on the tape, that the label would drop him. McPherson did not respond to the Post's request for comment. An intern with the label whose work suffered later, or after she began a relationship with Kelly, ultimately costing her the position, settled with Epic for $250,000. Kathy Carroll, the executive she worked for, regularly rebuked her former subordinate for having an affair with a married man whenever the two met at social functions for years afterwards, and the damage to the woman's reputation led her to abandon her career and the music industry. Carroll told the newspaper the woman was starstruck. "A lot of times, it's not really the men." The Washington Post also suggests the labels were complicit in the sex cult allegations from the previous summer's BuzzFeed piece. Employees at the studio where Kelly recorded were required to sign non-disclosure agreements and not enter certain rooms, which they said they believed were where Kelly made the women stay while he worked. Despite the agreements, the newspaper was also able to publish screenshots of text exchanges where women in the rooms asked Kelly's assistants to let them out so they could go to the bathroom or get food. The newspaper also published pictures taken after Kelly had concluded a six-week session at a Los Angeles studio paid for by his then-current label, RCA Records, showing a cup of urine sitting on a piano and urine stains on the wooden floor of another room. So there you go. It just keeps getting better.
Well, here's the thing. He is making them so much money that there are so many people willing to look away as long as he's bringing them in money.
Yeah, they are. That it's exactly what.
And that it doesn't matter what he does. Here, sign this non-disclosure. Yeah.
To me, I mean, it the Aaliyah thing was like kind of mysterious forever. And then that tape came out in the 90s. And he was found innocent on all that. And I don't know how the hell that was. I mean, it was a fucking videotape, pardon the pun, of him with that girl in his house, which was visibly recognizable from like an episode of MTV Cribs with like fucking awards on the wall that were his, but it was somehow reasoned that this was not him in his house, in his personal private bathroom that's not like a guest room or anything like that, that couldn't have been him. The man who looked just like him on camera and the woman who looked a lot like the woman that was that did not want to press charges. And somehow. So, I mean, even being found innocent, how the musical world still, and the fans, still took him back and allowed him to still have even bigger hits than he ever had before after all of that is just...
But, you know, I still think that shit happens.
Oh, it does, I'm sure.
But, you know, we just don't know about it, but it's like, okay, what he's doing is pretty creepy, but he's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to say... And he's like, it's not like I know of somebody, but it happened.
Yeah.
Because they're making so much money. And especially now, like, it's really hard to make money in the record business.
Sure. It's just shocking to me, even more so than the record companies. I mean, I'm not in any way excusing anybody for any of this stuff. Record companies, I can kind of see the... You know, they're making money. They're going to, it's your personal life. If we don't find, I mean, but they're finding out about it. So even there is not like a true, like, oh, you're off the hook. You didn't know. No, they fucking
knew.
There's
so many people who knew.
What gets me is the audience and the fans who are still like, yeah, I'm going to that fucking R. Kelly concert. And you know what? He put out good music that was very popular. It was a huge, and that's, I mean, obviously that's just a factual statement. He had more hits than anybody else in that genre for a long period of time. And I remember playing his music back in the day, and it's like, that's good. You know, it was fun. Top 40 music of the era and R&B music of the era. But how is it that we had all this knowledge and just as a collective whole, it's like, yeah, he's probably doing that shit. But hey, did you hear Ignition Remix? That's a great one. It's just like, what the
fuck? It's not surprising. It's just not surprising to me because, I mean, right now is a good example of that. You have people who believe COVID is an absolute hoax.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter any science you would show them. It's an absolute hoax.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who are the other end of it. And there's these, I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like, I know people who have had it.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. But when it's like your favorite artist, you don't want to believe he could do that.
Yeah.
So it's got to be something that women did.
Yeah. And that's what they go
to. That's how people justify it. It's like, well, obviously the women brought it on themselves.
And it's fucked up because that's not the, you know. It's not. That's not how that sort of thing works when you're preyed upon. It's very different if it's a consensual adult relationship. It's a whole other thing when you are being preyed upon because of your immaturity that the predator knows he can take advantage of you more because you have less life experience and your brain isn't fully developed yet and you're more susceptible to a fucking predator.
But there's other things he did with adult women who would have a say. But, you know, there's just this thing that happens that, and it happens in a lot of relationships.
Yeah.
You know, abusive relationships.
Sure.
Where you say, well, why didn't you just leave him?
Yeah.
It's not like that.
It's not.
It's like you get so beaten down and you have no self-esteem whatsoever.
Yeah.
And you are convinced you couldn't make it without him.
Yeah.
And so when you say it's a woman's fault, there's just so much more to it.
Well, I didn't say that.
No, you did not. No. I meant the you as in the general you.
Yeah, yeah. I would never. No, yeah. I don't think that at whatsoever. It's just, it's amazing to me. Just, I don't know. I guess I'm amazed by the public. I was amazed back in the day, though, too. And I'm not like saying I'm, you know, smarter or better than anybody else, but I did find it odd that we could socially be cool with playing, you know, back, you know, there's a whatever, some kind of thing with the songs were back in the day, but like Ignition Remix and just some of the stuff that came out that were all, there were some raunchy ones too, that were all very, very sexual, that after all those allegations, after that videotape, that the public still wanted it. It's not even so much that that the radio station was like, ooh, R. Kelly, I can't wait to play it. It's no, it's because every fucking person is calling your radio station going, play the new R. Kelly song. So a radio station, I mean, you'd hope, you'd want, you know, maybe somebody somewhere to stand. I mean, it would really start at the record company level where somebody says, no, we're not releasing this shit anymore. Like, yeah, maybe it's a great song, but no, we're not paying you. We're not allowing you to keep living this life by giving you all this money from this music you're making. It goes so deep. You would hope that someone along the line would have said, or had the ability to not play his music. But
well, and then on the other hand, you have the Dixie Chicks. Like,
yeah,
they make one statement in England and like they're pariahs.
Yeah.
Then you have this guy, there's actual videotape of him urinating on an underage girl.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That, and it was in the same timetable too.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like we're fucking running over Dixie Chick records with steamrollers. But hey, let's play that new single from R. Kelly.
But I was working in country radio at that time,
yeah.
And it was bad.
Oh yeah,
like if I play a Dixie Chick song, that it would go on for an hour. Like people, like it got personal.
It was crazy
about me.
Yeah,
like what they were going to do to me if I ever played another song.
They did. Yeah,
it was horrible.
But there was never any phone calls into my top 40 station saying, you're playing R. Kelly, I'm going to show up with a shotgun behind the radio station after your shift today. No, it would be like, hey, can you play that? Can you play Bump and Grind too? It was never.
So weird to me.
It is. It's in the insanity of society where that sort of thing can happen. And I don't know what the fuck it is. Let's continue on with R. Kelly and the allegations in his story. Kelly released a 19-minute song called I Admit on SoundCloud on July 23rd, 2018, as a response to his accusers. The song does not contain any criminal admissions despite its title and chorus, which repeats the lyric, I admit it, I did it. In I Admit, Kelly denies allegations of domestic violence and pedophilia, asserting that they are matters of opinion. Kelly also denounces Jim DeRogatis and repudiates his investigative report's claim of Kelly's operating a sex cult. Addressing the Mute R. Kelly social media campaign, Kelly sings, Only God Can Mute Me. The song was criticized by reviewers who described it as an act of trolling. Andrea Kelly and Carrie Killa Kelly, R. Kelly's ex-wife and brother, responded to I Admit with a remix and a diss track. In January of 2019, Lifetime began airing a six-part documentary series detailing sexual abuse and misconduct allegations against Kelly. Within 2 weeks, Kelly launched a Facebook page where he sought to discredit the accusers who appeared in the docuseries. Facebook removed the page for violating their standards as it appeared to contain personal contact information for his accusers. The second season, titled Surviving R. Kelly Part 2, The Reckoning, premiered on January 2nd, 2020. Alleged sexual abuse of minors. On February 22nd of 2019, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office in Illinois charged Kelly with 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. The charges allege that from 1998 to 2010, Kelly sexually abused four females, three of whom were teen minors at the time, with evidence including a video provided by Michael Avenatti that allegedly depicts a new crime. Kelly turned himself in the day the charges were announced. The judge set a $1 million bond and ordered Kelly to have no contact with any minor under 18 or alleged victim. Kelly pleaded not guilty to all charges, which he called lies. He was released on bail after two nights in jail. On March 6, 2019, television program CBS This Morning broadcast an interview with Kelly by Gail King, in which Kelly insisted on his innocence, blamed social media for the allegations, attracting media attention. Was an emotional outburst by Kelly during the interview where he stood up, pounded his chest, and yelled. During the same airing, two women who resided with Kelly, whose parents say they are brainwashed captives, declared their love for Kelly and defended him. On July 11, 2019, Kelly was arrested on federal charges alleging sex crimes and obstruction of justice. On July 12, 2019, federal prosecutors from New York and Chicago indicted Kelly on 18 charges, including child sexual exploitation, child pornography production, kidnapping, forced labor, racketeering, and obstruction of justice. He was first denied bail in October of 2019 and denied bail release again in April of 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic. He is currently incarcerated at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Chicago. On August 5, 2019, a Minnesota prosecutor charged Kelly with soliciting a minor and prostitution following a 2001 allegation of inviting a girl to his hotel room and paying her $200 to remove her clothing and dance with him. Kelly's attorney, Steve Greenberg, stated the case is pure publicity grab by the prosecutor. Greenberg also tweeted, R.E., new charges at R. Kelly. Give me a break. This is beyond absurd. Hennepin County State's Attorney Mike Freeman said, Minnesota victims deserve their day in court, and that's why we're here. In my view, too many prosecutors are ignoring victims. This one doesn't. After a July 1996 brawl at a Lafayette, Louisiana health club involving Kelly and his entourage, Kelly was placed on a year's unsupervised probation starting on August 13, 1997, after being found guilty of battery. One of the victims needed 110 facial stitches. Also that year, a 20-year-old accused Kelly in civil court of having sexual relations with her when he was 24 and she was 15. Kelly settled that lawsuit in 98 for $250,000, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. On April 8th of 1998, Kelly was arrested on three misdemeanor charges of disorderly conduct, including one charge in violating noise ordinances for playing his music extremely loud from his car. Prosecutors from the district attorney's office dropped the first two charges on May 7th and the noise charge July 22nd of that year. On March 6th of 2019, Kelly was taken back to the Cook County Jail after failing to pay $161,633 in child support. On March 9th of 2019, he was released after someone who did not want to be identified paid off the child support. His lawyer says he could not discuss the payment due to a gag order. So there is still people. I remember when that happened. I remember when someone paid that bail for him. And it
I'm glad that the child support was paid, but that's weird.
Yeah. I don't think he had any money left or has any money left. That's my guess. I mean, living that lifestyle, I think it was all blown on his lifestyle and attorney's fees and settlements. And how many of these settlements do we not even know about that, you know, because they were completely under and nobody's been able to unearth them. Did you watch the CBS This Morning interview with Gail King last?
I'd forgotten about that until you just mentioned it.
Yeah.
I did not until it got so much press, then I did.
Yeah.
And yeah, that wasn't good on, like, that looked really bad for him.
One of the worst, I mean, Gail King did a good interview, but it was one of the most uncomfortable and worst interviewers for an interviewee ever. So when I say worst interview, it's not a dig on Gail King. It's a dig on R. Kelly of, like, this is one of the worst.
Yeah, it was a meltdown.
It was almost like, I don't know. I mean, the Prince Andrew uncomfortableness that the BBC did.
Yeah, that was another really bad one.
Where it's like, you know, I think Prince Andrew knows what the fuck he did. With R. Kelly, I have to wonder a little bit Do you think he's, I mean, he knows what he's done, but in his mind, the way he always words things, like he said in his song or something I read earlier, it's all of a point of view or a perspective or something of that nature when it was talking about him with underage or younger women, that it's a perspective thing. It's not a, like a societal acceptance thing. Do you think in his mind, no matter what, he is such a narcissist that he fully believes he's innocent? And he fully believes it's...
Yeah, I kind of do in a way.
That it was okay for him to be with these 14-year-olds or 15, whatever they were.
I think that somebody like him has so many people around him that... Yeah. I think the same thing happened to Michael Jackson, and that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But he didn't live a real life. You know, nobody held him accountable, and everybody was after him for reasons like, because he's famous and they want to be around the famous guy, Michael Jackson. I think the same thing with R. Kelly. Like, he was really famous, and I think there was a lot of people who enabled him, and he had this sense of himself that whatever he did, it didn't matter. He could do whatever he wanted. He's R. Kelly.
Yeah, it's like the rules don't apply to me, and I know that's
exactly.
And it's one thing, you know, when a narcissist, you know, kind of believes that. It's another when it's like, they really, it's like ingrained in them. It's not even like there's no caution. There's no other people might find this wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway because I think I should be able to because I'm who I am. And there's another where it's just, there's no one's going to find anything wrong with this. Why would they? I am who I am. You know, there's one that has the knowledge of the deed being unacceptable by societal standards. And there's one where they don't even, they're not aware of that, or their mind can't process that. And I mean, truly, we're talking about some sort of a mental illness here, but it's not an excuse by any means. I mean, the man is an adult, but it's one of those things where how much of this is a real maniacal type individual and how much of this is a really super mentally sick individual that then all their actions come across as maniacal and horrible because they are acting in a maniacal, horrible way because that's all they know. That's their normal. And they can just do it.
I think that people like that also have a way of convincing themselves that she wanted it. Mm-hmm. You know, she was willing and capable of saying no. She never said no to me.
Or was all love. You know,
she would... did. I don't know that that's the case with him.
Sure. I mean, they find ways of justifying all those things.
And I think in his case, it was almost, there was a whole nother level of it. Like, almost like some of these women are property to him.
Yeah.
And that they have this really twisted relationship with him because, you know, it's that abusive relationship, you know, there's signs of it where they start isolating you and keeping you away from your friends and your family. And that's exactly what he did with these women. Now, the younger women, of course, they're easily manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get to a point, the women they're abusing are totally dependent on them.
Yeah.
Now they don't believe they can do it on their own. They don't have any friends. They don't believe anything their family would tell them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see it. He's so great.
He's not. Yeah. People are capable of amazing things, both good and bad. And this, unfortunately, is one of those things where these people are, Kelly specifically, capable of something very horrible, and then his victims capable of being able to believe him, but to trust in someone like that. And it's not like they're evil, bad people, the victims, but it's so scary that the brain can work that way, that there's not an emergency brake or something that can stop something like this.
No, and it happens slowly. Because I was in a really abusive relationship when I was really young, like 19.
Yeah.
And it just happened slowly.
Yeah.
until I remember other people telling me, like, this isn't right. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't know him the way I do.
Sure.
And I would stand up for him. And then you just get wrapped up in it. And it's like, I guess this is it.
And the way it happens so slowly, do you think in all cases the abuser even knows they're abusing, or they're just repeating what they've seen and seem to believe is normal?
I don't know.
It probably depends on the situation.
I think it's also a matter of they feel entitled.
Yeah.
I think there's a mindset there that you and I can't relate to.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do that to someone else. And like, those people can do it without any issue at all.
Sure.
Like, whatever. I got everything.
I think that's one of the reasons I find stories like this so fascinating, and I get drawn into them. And this whole show, The Dark Side of Wikipedia, just hearing some of these stories well beyond R. Kelly, so fascinating, because I like to try and put myself or my mind in the place of someone else. I want to try and understand. I want to try and empathize with people, normal people that I interact with on a regular basis. I will be the first to admit I am not the greatest at that by any means, but I try and wrap my mind around whatever somebody's situation is. Why are they acting the way they are, good or bad, whatever it is. But there, and I think a lot of times I can end up finding it and seeing it from weird perspectives and go, okay, I think I might have figured this out. But in some things like this, or Epstein, or it's like, I get the semantics of it, but I don't get how the mind ever got there to get to that point. Like, how the fuck did you get that far that this is now how you operate? That I mean, I guess it's a slow, sure build, but I guess when it keeps being, the horrible behavior keeps being reinforced over and over in positive ways, I guess that's how it happens. I don't know. I mean, I just don't understand how even it being enforced over and over, you at some point you would think you would know you're doing something wrong and you go, okay, I got away with it. What the fuck? They're like encouraging me to do this shit? Okay.
But I think there's a twisted mind that you can't relate to.
Yeah.
Because people like that really get a satisfaction out of it. Yeah. So there's some self-motivation there too. Like, they like that power. Yeah. They like the manipulation. They like the
and I think
sex side of it. And
yeah, I think that's the carrot I'm chasing, that I'm chasing with this show. It's the same carrot I chased with the Ghost Show. It's like, I want to understand this better. I want to try and make sense of situations that otherwise are unsensical. And I think that's what draws a lot of us into stories like this, is we just keep digging, going, well, at some point, we're going to turn over some rock here and we're going to go, oh, okay, I completely get it now. And there just isn't that rock. It doesn't exist because these things don't make sense.
Even if somebody goes, hey, Tony, here's the rock. I'm turning it over for you. You wouldn't be able to relate to it.
No.
Because it doesn't make sense.
No, it would only make sense to the individual in question, and that's how they're able to do what they do. So straight faced, you know. I hope that these are the rarer people in our population who are doing things like this. That there's not that they're not the large percentage or a large percentage of the population that are doing shit like this. But I don't know. It's scary because then you start to go down the rabbit hole of, well, how much is covered up? How much? And, you know, it's just.
But, you know, I think it's more prevalent than what people think because.
Yeah.
I know. I would say 90% of the women I know have been sexually abused at some point in their life, sexually assaulted at some point.
And that's so scary.
90%, including me.
Yeah.
And like, how does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, no is no, right?
Yeah.
But it's not. and you're bigger and more powerful, and it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it just makes me sad that more women than not have been sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
It is. And it's scary as, I mean, number one, I can't put myself in the shoes of women who've gone through that. So I'm not going to even pretend to because I can't. I've not been in that situation. But from a perspective that I can say I'm coming from is as a dad, you know, of two little, right. of two girls, that it's such a scary world to think of that stuff, you yeah. know, and I'm not, you know, sticking my head in the sand going, la, 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 everything's going to be great and nothing will ever happen. But my fucking spidey sense, you know, since I have two girls is, you know, Chris Hansen times 50,
yeah.
where I'm just like, I'm always fucking looking out for predator type people. And my, and it probably is like over the top, but that's, you know, I think we either have dads like that, like me, they're like always watching out for shit, or we have the world of like, do whatever the fuck you want. Not a lot in the middle.
In this day and age, there are parents, you know, like who are in their children, their daughters were involved with R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for them because, you know, their daughter was a great singer, maybe.
Sure.
And R. Kelly recognized that. And this is something they've known all along. It's like your kid's a great baseball player, and all of a sudden a Division I college wants him. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, it's what we've been wanting our whole lives. Of course you get wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
Like, and it's sad. And you wouldn't think the horror, like, oh my God, he must be trustworthy. Everybody knows him.
Yeah.
It's just sad. So I can get how even parents
sure.
get
yeah, you think of, you're like, well, you're dropping your kid off at a record at a studio, and there's producers, and there's all these people around, and you're thinking, things can't go wrong. There's all these people everywhere, you know. They're not all in on this, you know. Like, yeah, they may not all be in on it, you know, quote unquote. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of them that just turn their fucking head. So yeah. They may not have known the details. But they didn't know what was going on in that room.
I think there's a lot of people who knew the shit that was going down.
Sure. Or they purposely made themselves not aware of it. They knew what was going down, but at the same time, they didn't. You know, it's like, you know, don't show me or like an attorney or somebody saying, you know, you can't say this to me, even if that's what it is. I cannot have that piece of knowledge and be your attorney. You know, it's like that, where it's like, don't implicate yourself, don't have the knowledge, and you can continue to do your job. And I think a lot of people were just doing that. They were doing their job, and they'd rather collect that paycheck from being a producer on a million selling album versus raising a red flag that puts them out of a job. And it's not right, but that's human behavior. And I think that's what happened a lot in this case.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of The Dark Side of Wikipedia, the controversies of R. Kelly. And obviously, he's not been to trial yet for these new charges. So I'm sure there will be another episode at some point to see where all of that ends up going with those current allegations. If you like the show, become a subscriber. Press subscribe to every platform you listen to us on. If you can spare a couple minutes, leave us a review over there on Apple Podcasts. We'd greatly appreciate it. Until next time, for all of us at the Dark Side of Wikipedia, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.